when you think rocks or stones? A Bible story, an illustration, a text, just, and then you can put one word abbreviation of what they've said. There you go. Build on the rock. You might not have to, you might have to wait for her to catch up.
I am the rock.
Jesus the rock. The stone the builders rejected. Oh, temptations in the desert. Thank you. Very different. Oh, I saw a hand going up. Oh, hang on. Building an altar. Okay, Amity. Stephen was stoned. I'm going to turn this thing on because I'm going to move around. Anybody else? Oh. Jacob put his head on a rock as a pillow, wasn't it? Yes, thank you. No, we haven't had David and Goliath. Psalm 121. Ten Commandments. Moses tapped the rock. Are you keeping up, Anna?
Yeah.
We're going to have a sermon on each of these now. So you have come with lunch, haven't you? The stone in front of the tomb. Sorry? Daniel 2, the rock. Just write Daniel 2.
The number 2.
Yes, the Daniel 2 rock statue. Yeah.
I can spell.
Okay. Oh. Peter. A cornerstone. Someone's been reading the order of service. Well, we've got Stephen being stoned. So, have we got one more? Building the temple. A stumbling stone. Okay.
This text is taken from Genesis chapter 28, verses 18 to 22. Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone he had slept on and set it up on its end. Then he poured olive oil on the top of it. At first, the name of that city was Luz, but Jacob named it Bethel. Then Jacob made a promise. He said, "I want God to be with me and to protect me on this journey. I want him to give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so I will be able to return in peace to my father's house. If the Lord does these things, he will be my God. The stone which I have set up on its end will be the house of God, and I will give God 1/10 of all he gives me."
I've got Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. Also, I will teach you to trust, to respect me completely. And I will put a new way of thinking inside you. I will take out the stubborn hearts of stone from your bodies, and I will give you obedient hearts of flesh.
I have Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. So I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the power of death will not be able to defeat it.
I have Isaiah 28:16. Because of these things, this is what Lord God says. I will put a stone in the ground in Jerusalem, a tested stone. Everything will be built on this important and precious rock. Anyone who trusts in it will never be disappointed.
I've got Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. Daniel 2, verse 34. While you were looking at the statue, you saw a rock cut free, but no human being touched the rock. It hit the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them.
Matthew verse 7, 24-25. Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. It rained hard, the floods came, and the winds blew and hit that house, but it did not fall because it was built on rock.
Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout praises to the rock who saves us.
I have to pick one of those stones to talk about because you do want to go home. I've picked the cornerstone. Back in the days when the Old West was being settled, there were a lot of pioneers that made their way over the Oregon Trail. And when they got to the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains, they found there was a stream just a bit too wide to jump across in one step. So they two-stepped it. There was an ugly lump of rock in the middle of the stream, so they used it as a stepping stone. And as years went on, and other pioneers settled in the area, they built their cabins and they put fences up and they ploughed their fields. And there was a man whose cabin was close to the stream. But he had a bit of a problem with his front door, or his door. It kept flapping in the wind. So he went outside and he looked in the stream and he found a big rock and he brought it in and he wedged it against the door to stop it banging. Many years passed. Railways were built, people came and settled more and more, and cities sprang up. And a young man went off to study geology. And he came back one day to visit his uncle. And when he was sitting outside his uncle's house, he spotted the lump of rock. It wasn't just any old lump of rock. It was the largest gold nugget ever to have been discovered. It had been there for three generations, but everybody saw that rock differently. An ugly lump. Useful as a stepping stone, maybe, or a doorstop, or possibly a stumbling stone. But actually, it was a very precious stone, the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone, or the capstone, depending on the translation you read, and to me that seems to be one end of the building to the other, but I'm not going to argue because I'm not an architect. But I know it's important. That's enough for me. It needs to be strong. It needs to be there to hold the building together. Jesus is our cornerstone, the church's cornerstone. There's been a lot of reference to Psalms this morning, and I thank you very much for picking one that I had to leave out this morning, Francis. But one came to mind was Psalm 118, verse 22, and I can't remember which of our young people read it. The stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone or the capstone. How on earth could a builder reject the most important stone? How could they miss it? Jesus told a parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him up and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, and they beat him up too, and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. He sent a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "Can I do? I will send my son, whom I love, and perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over and said, "Oh, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do then? He will come and kill the tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "May it never be." But Jesus looked at them and said, "Then what is the meaning of which is written, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone'?" Jesus used that parable to say, well, if that isn't the meaning of Psalm 118, verse 22, then what is? But the stone the builders rejected, the son, got killed. I don't see the rejected stone coming back to glory in this parable. But there's another story that maybe will help explain what they understood that maybe we don't. When Solomon's temple was being built, it was forbidden that any hammering sounds would be made in the area of the build of the new temple, because it was going to be a holy place of worship, no noise. The only problem is you can't build without noise. And so they went several miles away, probably, and they prepared all the stones, and then they were transported up. Each and every 20-ton stone had a drawing, so they knew it was the ultimate Lego plan. They had an incredible plan. Every stone was cut to size, cut to specification. The very first stone, according to Jewish tradition, that was delivered was the capstone. But that's actually the last stone that's needed. So they put it to one side. The temple took a long time to build, and years went by, and the grass grew over the stone. When they were nearly finished, they sent to the masons and said, "Please send us the capstone." And the word came back from the quarry, "We've already sent it." The builders were confused. Where is it? And then suddenly someone remembered. We had a stone we didn't know what to do with ages ago. And they cleared the grass and they found the stone the builders had rejected. Just like Jesus's parable, this is a parallel and a picture of Jesus. When he came the first time, he didn't fit what the people were expecting. They tossed him aside. They rejected him. And only later do people understand his true worth and significance. Peter, in 1 Peter verse 2, chapter 2 and verses 4 to 7, which was my reading for last week, just to prove I was doing a bit of work ahead of time. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. To you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. There's so much imagery going on in there. Not only is Jesus the cornerstone, but he has given us a task. We are to be his living stones. I haven't found out if this is true, so this is Andrew's homework for this week. He probably knows already. According to something I read this week, the Greek word in the New Testament for Jesus' occupation can be translated as builder. And in Israel, it's more than just carpentry. Buildings were made from stone. So it's possible that Jesus was a stonemason as well as a carpenter. So if Peter called us living stones, we have the master mason, Jesus, to shape us into a perfect fit for his spiritual temple. The words that Anna sang before, in a sense, are our consecration. All I have and all I am, I give to you. Unless Jesus builds our house, our environment, the way we live, we're doing it in vain. When we talked about the Eddiston lighthouses with the children, we have the lighthouse was no use unless there was light. The rock itself could not provide the light. It needed the building and the light. God chooses to use us to be lighthouses, living stones for him.
Lord, you are our cornerstone. If there is anything in our life that needs to change, be the stumbling block that makes us stop. There is something that we need to do, if there's some focus you have for us, be the foundation stone upon which it is built. As we're drawn together to be your church, may we be the living stones. And as we glimpse a view of the future you have for us, may we see your kingdom as a stone coming to change the world. Lord, we thank you for our morning, our stony morning. May the rocks and stones of our lives disappear and be replaced by the rocks and stones of your story. May we find our lives built upon the rock that will never let us go. Now go in peace, for Christ has called you to live in peace amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go in courage, for Christ has called you from the places of your life to be agents of redemption and partners in healing. And go now in joy and thanksgiving, for Christ is our light. Go now as one body, built upon one stone, to serve and love God and to serve the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.